Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastumavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 3 Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis. Page 112. Okay. You are the original Lord, the controller beyond material energy. You are situated in your spiritual form, being one with your spiritual energy, and separate from the material energy by your spiritual energy. So he's separate by his spiritual energy because he's in control of the material energy but through his spiritual energy. Because this material energy is just the transformation of the spiritual energy, right? Because the Sarup Shakti means it includes all of the spiritual, the material, and the jivas. That's Sarup Shakti. It means it's the complete Shakti. It means he as the complete Shaktiman, the manifestation of that complete Shakti is Sarup. And so then from there it has those three features. Right? Just like Krishna has Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. So the Sarup Shakti has these three features. Right? There's unlimited, but the point is that these are the main categories. And so then he is controlling the external energy through controlling the internal. Right? Because it's his desire that's being fulfilled. The internal energy does that through. Right, because the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis are serving the Icha. Right, so then when you take the Jnana Shakti and transform it, then you get the Maya Shakti. Right, so the Jnana turns into the Ajnana Shakti. Does that make sense? Like that. But that's only in that it controls the Jivas by Ajnana, not that the Shakti itself is in Ajnana. Yes.
Swarup Shakti being personal, can we say it actually manages itself through Krishna, just activates it? He's not like, it doesn't take him any effort to control it.
No, because the point is that Icha is the main thing, so just by his desire it happens. Because his desire is there, and so that desire will be fulfilled. And so then the mechanics of that's taken care of by the Kriya and Jnana. Like that. And so he is aware of all that, but at the same time as we see it in at least in Goloka, that he doesn't have to be aware. Because the point is just like it said, first-class servant gets things done even without asking. They just know what needs to be done. So his desire is there, so the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis take care of it. Right? And so that's overseen by Balaram. Right? So then he takes care of those things. And it's because of his desire, it happens. Right? But it's all to please Krishna. So that makes Balaram the supreme personality of servant or Godhead, because he's Godhead who's taking care of these energies to serve Krishna. Right? So yes, so they manage themselves. Generally, we don't put too much emphasis on that, though that is the case, because otherwise then we think of Shaktis and independence.
Yeah.
So that's why I always point out that even they're on their own doing everything, it's still not without Krishna's control. Right? Because it's about his desire, that's what's controlling. Right? Because we're used to control means there's actually some kind of physical or political or economic force that makes you do things. So the idea that you do it simply because of affection, you know, that's for, you know, how you say, we in the modern context, small things, you know, like family or children or, you know, something for a friend. But actually, that's the big thing, right? Because that's the highest in the spiritual world. That will be seen as the lowest here. you know, an occupation and those kind of controlling, because it creates facility for that, but we're so busy getting the facility, we don't see using it. Like, you know, like the businessman is so busy making money, when does he ever enjoy it? Right? Because even if he's on a vacation, especially in the contemporary thing, with the communication and that, you know, there's always something going to be going wrong, some big deal coming up that costs millions and all that. But the point is the guys, if he's making hundreds of millions of billions, what's a million here or there? He can sit with his family, enjoy himself. He can't. So that's the whole thing, is that Krishna, just by his desire, that's taken care of. And so they all are controlled by his desire. That's the thing. So the Icha is the main thing. So this is, as we said, the Prabhava. This is the influence. So his desire is the influence. And then the Kriya and Jnanas, they control everything else. So in the spiritual world, it'll be in its natural form. And in the material world, it'll be in its transformed form. Is that? So it all takes care. And he can know everything because it's all him. So he's non-different. So he can know. It's just like you can say, you know, you can touch this flower here with your fingers and you know what it is. Even though we will consider ourselves, you know, in the body. And then the arm is an extension, or the finger is the extension of that. But by touching it, you know. You understand? So that's the thing, is that through that he can know, or he can not know, and just see and let Yogamaya take care of it. Does that make sense? So Balaram tends to be, he knows. Like you can see, as he figures out what's going on here, or everybody's upset because of the Agasura and he's just smiling, or they're all upset about Kali and he's just smiling, because it's that he's the Supreme Lord. How can it go wrong? So that's his relationship with Krishna, as he is the servitor Godhead, right? But he doesn't stop it, because it's all about the flavor and the rasa and the exchange that's going on there, and so then it all goes very nicely. So he can both go in and out of that. But you see, Krishna in Braj, he doesn't have to go into Sarvajna. He can if he wants. Like with the demons, he'll talk in that way. But otherwise, with the devotees, he doesn't. But like in Vaikuntha, then he's always in that mood of Sarvajna. Right? That Mugdhata element will be very, very minor. You won't even really consider it as a separate. Does that make sense? You know, he's always, I'm sure, very happy with how the devotees are doing things and that. But the point is he is God, so he knows all. Does that make sense? While in Braja Krishna, he doesn't know, he doesn't see. Does that make sense? So that's how the pastime works. It's just how yoga might, and then you get a particular flavor. So it's because it's fulfilling his desire, and they know his desire, they know how to arrange the pastimes for his pleasure. And then he reciprocates with that. So that's why it's a pastime. Right? Because Krishna doesn't have anything to do, so it's pastime. Yes.
Can we say that in all the realms, Krishna's personality more or less covered by his position, except for Braj. In Vrindavan, he himself can be there.
Means just he is mood, he's there. All the others, yes, like you say, all the others, it's a matter of, but it still comes down to, you can take it back to the relationships that are there, the particular rati that's there. And so, for that rati, you need a particular environment. Like, let's say, with the cowherd boys. If you want to really fully experience that, you need a forest. Because you can run around, you can yell and scream, pick things up, not put them back. Like, if I go along and you find a peacock feather, you pick it up, put it in your hair, or put it somewhere like that, and you keep running, you don't have to put it back there. Right? But in Mother Jashoda's house, you pick something up, you put it back. You know? So therefore, it's has that full manifestation, so you need that forest. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the whole idea. So when you add majesty, you have to have an environment of grandeur. So it's going to be a city. You know, it's got to be a city, and a nicely laid out city with the big roads. You know, we're not talking about a slum or something. You know, big roads, big gardens, big palaces, everything like that. And then in that environment, everyone goes around in their chariots, and then, you know, so that then you see the Kshatriya mood is perfect for that. Because Brahmins, what are they going to do with that much opulence? And Vaishyas, they don't need that kind of opulence. You know, it's just enough to that it's a palace, it's this, that, but you don't have to go beyond that. You know what I'm saying? Even they have a nice place, like Krishna Nanda Bhavan is a 100-room palace. So it's not a small place. You know? And the rooms are big. So you can say, well, Versailles is 1,000 rooms, but, you know, some of them are quite small. But in Krishna's, they'll generally be quite big. But in any case, it doesn't have to be that big as Versailles. Because the thing is then you're dealing with governance. So it requires more. You know, it's just like the White House. You have the West Wing. That's where all the administration goes on. You know, at least it's connected with the president. Because otherwise, if you just take the White House itself without the East and West Wings, it's not that big. It's big, but it's not that big in comparison. So the whole point is with the Vaishyas, it's just big enough for you to live comfortably. You don't have to manage something. You don't have to manage a country. So therefore, their facilities is in a certain thing. So you see in Braj, the opulence they have is very great. It's greater than anywhere else. But the focus is just on the interaction, the relationships. Well, so grandeur is not a major part. You know, it's just like if they want to do something, they're in Gokul, and, you know, so many demons and all that. So Nanda Baba, his brothers, and, you know, any other senior cowherd men, they get together, sit down and discuss it. They come up with ideas. You know, someone says, hey, why don't we go to, you know, over this at Vrindavan side, like that. And then they all, you know, it sounds good. They all agree, and they just pack up and move. You know? So it's much simpler than, even though it is government, but it's village government. So it's just personal. Everyone talks, and it gets done, and they themselves can do it. Without, you know, just with their own personal assistants, their own, you know, assistants and servants and everything. Well, in the government, you need this whole structure. Does that make sense? So, therefore, if you're dealing with opulence, then the Kshatriya environment is going to be the perfect environment. So, Vaikuntha and Dwarka, Mathura, it's Kshatriya environment. Right? Navadvipa is a Brahminical environment. And Braj is a Vaishya environment. Because the Brahminical, then you have so many rules, they live simpler and this and that like that. So then if you're the Kshatriya, then it has that opulence and that greater thing, so that's going to restrict in that. Right? Because he has to go to the court, he has to sit there. You know, they interact, it's all part of the rasa. But the point is you have occupation and all that kind of occupation. You know, it's very separate. But when Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys, you know, and the cows, the occupation is just seeing that they don't wander off. So you can run around, yell, scream all day. You know, you can't do that at the sabha. You know, like that. So like that, you'll see the does that make sense? So Vaikuntha has to have opulence. You know, the demigods, it's also Kshatriya culture because it's about opulence. Right? It's like, you know, how many are, they're not tripping over themselves to get the Tapaloka. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some people who are doing that, but the general thing is karma means not tapaloka. You know, the heavenly planets and all that. So, for that kind of attraction to Krishna in opulence, you need the Kshatriya environment. So therefore, then the palaces, the gates, the wall, you know, walls, all the different things that go along with it, that will be what's arranged. And then, in that environment, those devotees can perfectly match that. So if there's an interest in some sweetness, then you'll see is that then you'll have in Goloka, right? But if it's, you know, predominantly majesty, you know, there's always some sweetness because it's Krishna, so it has to be some sweetness. But it's sweetness in the context of majesty, then you're going to have Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? And then Braj will just be sweetness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So even if you extend the Vaikuntha mood, where you appreciate very much the sweetness, still, it won't get to the Braj level, because it'll still be an opulence. just you add the maximum amount of sweetness. So then you'll get lower Goloka. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then again, like you said yesterday, it comes back to the Rati. Right? So in the material world, because it's about controlling and enjoying, so then that's the general Rati that Krishna interacts with the living entities. And then where they want to control and enjoy, then that's where he interacts with them. Right? So if it's money, then he interacts as money. They deal properly with money, then Krishna reciprocates his money. They deal badly with money, he reciprocates by them not having money. Does that make sense? You know, so that's how they go. They deal properly with the relations in the context of their money and that environment, then they develop, and they don't, it's just about money, then they lose those relationships. So Krishna on that level, just he manifests to that, because it's fulfilling the living entity's desire. So the material world's not about Krishna fulfilling his desire. It's about fulfilling the living entity's desire. So therefore, his desire to create the material world, then it's mentions is that it's abhasha. It's not his direct desire. Like that. But his direct desires, the living entities, reform themselves and come back to the spiritual world. So that means the material world is designed for that only. And so that means, if that's the case, then that means it's by devotional service only, then you can realize Krishna and go back to Godhead. That means everything in the material world is designed to be supportive of devotional service. Right? So it's the same like the spiritual world. Everything there is used in Krishna's service, so here everything can be used in Krishna's service. But the because of consciousness, the living entities don't use it in Krishna's service, and therefore there's a problem. Does that make sense? So if they're used, if they're moving in the direction of using it, the direction of using the items as you would, either the items of devotional service or the items how you'd use them in devotional service, though it's not devotional service, that'll be called piety. And using the material facilities not in connection with devotional service and you know, like that, so the activities recommended for devotional service, that'll be impiety. Right? So depending upon they're coming closer to things that could be used in bhakti. You know, it's just like, let's say, the upper echelons of society. Even though, you know, they're typically known for being very proud and a little bit snarky and stuff like that, but they're very controlled in comparison with all the rest of the Mlechas and Yavanas. You know, they'll dress properly, they'll sit properly, how they eat their dinner, what they talk about. You know, dinner can take 2-3 hours, you know, and you're eating the same amount of stuff, you know, so that takes control, right? You could eat that much stuff in 5 minutes, you know, and if you wanted to take it easy, 10 or 15, you know, but there's all the things and the interactions and how they deal and the etiquettes. Does that make sense? So that means they have to have sense control to do that. You know, if someone comes into their office, makes a whole big scene, storms out, they don't react like that. Then after the guy's left, you know, then they call in their secretary, then they get the guy. You know, they tell him to do this, 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 and then by the time he walks out the front door, who knows what's happened to him. You know, does that make sense? So it takes sense control. So they're in a more pious condition because of that. Because that same sense control you would use in devotional service. But they're not using it in devotional service. But at least they're following what they should be doing. Even though the attitude's not right. So the form, and sometimes people have a nice attitude, you know, they use the good qualities, but it's still not for Krishna. So the mechanics, the attitude, the goals, you know, it's like the person wants to take care of their family. So, you know, that's a proper activity that you would do in devotional service. But they're not doing it because that's what Krishna wants you to do. They're doing it because that's what they want to do. So it's a pious activity. It's not devotional. But devotees will do because that's how Krishna arranged. The varnashram grihastas take care of the family. Why? Because Krishna says that's how it is. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the realm is all based on the particular attraction of the living entity. So they're attracted to Krishna's money or family or position or authority or power or, you know, speed, you know, anything, whatever it is, that's then going to be how Krishna reciprocates with them. But only in devotional service do you know it's Krishna. For the materialists, they don't know it's Krishna.
And that's why they become proud.
Yes, because they think they're doing it. Yeah, because it says, you know, you have that saying, when you're hot, you're hot, when you're not, you know that one?
Yeah.
Heard of that? No? Really? You haven't heard of it? Oh. Yeah.
You didn't hear it.
No. Oh, didn't hear. Okay. Yeah. Just, so that whole thing is that if you're not in control of it, when it's, you know, it's just like, oh, it's all happening, you know, you're making calls, you're making, it's all going on, but you've been making those calls every day, and it's not going on. So if you actually analyze it, you can see is you're not actually in control. But they don't analyze it, so they think it's them, and they become proud.
And that's why materialists have no good qualities.
Yes, they don't have good qualities. They have from their karma, because of how they interact with Krishna and Krishna reciprocating. But it's not theirs at any moment it can go. But with devotees, when the qualities are there, they don't go. They can become covered, but they don't go. Does that make sense? You know, like say, a devotee advances to a certain level, develops all kinds of nice quality. Something happens, it just gets covered. They don't go away. Right? With the karmi, something happens, they just go away. Because they're borrowed. But they're not. So that when you see when they come back and spend the time with the devotees, put in that effort, you see all those same qualities there again. You know, and they've only been, you know, hanging around, let's say, for the last 6 months, and you see all the same qualities. Well, in a new devotee, you won't see that in 6 months. So, yeah. Does that work? So,
yeah.
Yes. Yes.
With?
By hating the duty.
Yes, which result will
be? You hate the duty, but you're doing it for Krishna.
Yes.
Why do you hate the duty?
Because I don't like it.
You don't like it, but does it give a good result in Varnashram?
Because it describes duty, I need to do it.
Yes, but does it not give a nice result? Just like, let's say, one cooks every day for the family. There's no result there. Everybody eats and everybody's happy and you also eat. So results are there. Good results are always there. Yeah. Well, it's just like people don't like cooking because it's the effort. You know, so. Hence, you know, how you say... Take the TV dinners or takeaway, you know, Chinese takeaway or stuff like that, yeah. They say, what's that, Zomato or something?
All right,
yeah. You know, all these things, these apps, like you on your phone, you can get a taxi, you can get something to eat. But, will they deliver it anywhere?
We can try. Okay. See if they'll come here.
Okay. So I heard about, someone was telling me that they were sitting there in New York on the train. You know, underground. And I guess it's one of those, they drive every day. It was probably college students, and they're, you know, going down to go to school or something. So the guy's sitting there, you know, next to the door. And then he opens his briefcase, pulls out a phone, right? The old kind of phone. This was back before the mobile phone. You know, and on the train, where is that going to be? He just pings it out, puts it on top of the thing. You know, dials like this, and hello, this, that, like that. Yeah, I want to eat pizza, you know, this, that, this. You know, gives all the details and that. You know, and they say, where are you? Okay, I'm on, you know, the A train and like that, and we'll be in, you know, in 5 minutes stopping at this station, like that. And that guy hangs up the phone, puts it away like that, and everyone's watching and that. And thinking, okay. And then when they get to that station, the door opens, a guy dressed up, the pizza guy comes in and says, you know, just like that, gives him the thing, he signs like that, and then steps out. Then he just sits there and then eats his pizza. So can they do that? Or?
No. He was on the cutting edge.
Huh?
On the cutting edge.
Yeah, yes. He's on, yeah. Yeah, he could have seen that he could have started something.
He maybe started so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Money to be made. There's money to be made.
Yeah, there's money to be made. Can you see that? Then you see everybody on the train, they're all eating pizza.
Somehow college students are the ones who are always on the
train. Yeah, they always do stupid stuff like that. Because otherwise, what's the fun, right? You know, it's like, you know, you're authorized to be stupid. Yes. Right? You know?
I was going at 1 o'clock in the night after I had to catch some flight or something. And I saw the pizza delivery guy, somebody came. Who's just ordering a pizza? Then I saw, this is where college students live. Okay. It's normal.
Okay,
1
yeah.
1
a.m., yeah. Just get a
pizza.
Yeah, got to be crazy. Otherwise, what's the point? Okay, good. That see means the duties are there, and then by continuing those duties, then one will see the taste in it. When the specific of the activity itself, one may or may not like, but the principle of performing the duties and having done them properly, that you'll get a taste for. Does that make sense? Means if you perform something on a regular basis, you will get taste. But the point is, motive goodness means in the beginning it's bitter, and at the end it's sweet. And motive passion means it's good in the beginning, and at the end it's not so good. You got to eat. Yeah, because you're doing it, you're being dutiful, so you're being regular. That'll always be a benefit for being regular and all that. Because the point is, this is about pleasing Krishna. So you're doing it because it pleases Krishna, therefore you do it, so that is good. Right? You just remember Krishna, and then you'll get the spiritual benefit. You know, because how many things in the material world do people like doing? Like, everybody loves to go to work. You know, that two-hour commute is just like ecstasy, you know? That time alone with yourself, with, you know, 1,000 other people squashed into the train, you know, it's just, you know, it's those moments that are just, you know, then sitting in that little cubicle, doing work you hate, with people you hate, with a boss you hate, you know, not getting as much money as you think you should get, you know, and then there's taxes, and then, you know, all those things like that, and, you know, things like that, you know, the dog, you know, coming and digging a hole in your front lawn, you know, stuff like that. So, and you're thinking, what? He's got a front lawn. You know, so, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so.
Time to overthrow the government.
Yeah. Is that, who likes their life and what they do? Literally, who likes it?
It's true.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the way. There's a hope that maybe you'll get something, you'll get a break, but, you know, according to the rules, you don't. And the smart people know that. That's why they're pessimists.
That's an overrepresentation of depressed people in Mensa. That's like statistically, yeah, yeah. Like
they're really, they're the most depressed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, because they're
so
smart.
They see what's going on. Yeah. They can see it.
And it's not worth it. So.
No. It doesn't matter what we do. It's going to be crap anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Does that make sense? So therefore, if that's the only thing you don't like, you're doing really good. Does that make sense? Yeah, so be happy. Could be worse. Okay, yeah. In reference to this verse quoted earlier, there is another meaning. Maya is forbidden in Vaikuntha directly by the spiritual Shakti. You are situated in your own expansion, Atmani, Vaikuntha. How do you do that? You keep Maya far away by your Chit Shakti, which always exists there. Right? So the Chit Shakti is always there in Vaikuntha, and it keeps away the Maya Shakti. So that's the, it's not that the Maya Shakti is banging on the door and all that. And, you know, Jaya Vijaya goes, hey, Maya's here again. You know, what should we do? Like that.
She's not leaving.
Yeah, she's not going. She set up camp. She got this baby with an elephant head and this other guy that's got this, you know, how you say, you know, like a trident and all that. And then she,
earlier we saw in the beginning of Bhagavad Sambhava that when the entire Vaikuntha discussion was going on, the different directions, the different shaktis were defined, and then the negative shaktis were just behind him at some distance.
Yeah, that's what it's saying here. They stayed at a distance.
It is that is.
Yeah. So in other words, they're having their party there in Vaikuntha. They don't have to worry that the negative shaktis are going to come up and rub elbows with them. Yeah?
Invite only.
Hmm? Yeah, invite only. Because they're shy. They stay away anyway. Because why would they stay away? It's not by force. It's that the internal potency is pleasing Krishna directly. Or the external potency, then by keeping the living entities in conditioned state, that, you know, that conditioned state's not pleasing to Krishna. It's not their fault. They're not doing it. You know what I'm saying? But that's just what they do, so they feel embarrassed that they're engaged in that way. So they always stay behind the Lord. But it's because of the chit shakti is taking care. Okay?
Because the shaktis themselves are personalities, and they themselves are not under the influence of that particular negativity.
No.
So in that sense...
In that sense what?
They should be included in that person.
Included? How are they not included?
Because they are at a distance.
But you're at a distance connected to Krishna. How is that? We're at a distance not connected to Krishna. They're doing well. Sukadeva forbids Maya in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, there are no Rajas or Tamas, and no Sattva mixed with Rajas and Tamas. There is no influence of time. There is no influence of Maya at all. What to speak of its products, such as material elements? In Vaikuntha, the inhabitants are fully dedicated to the Lord and are worshipable by the Devatas, Asuras, and devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10. According to Padma Purana, moksha, parampadam, lingam, amritam, and Vishnu, mandiram, are synonyms for Vaikuntha. Arjuna speaks to the Lord. Yeah? Moksha is also Vaikuntha. Parampadam, you know, the ultimate place. Lingam, amritam, Vishnu, mandiram. All these, they all mean Vaikuntha. So these are different all aspects that is there. Right? Riti. Next, the nature of interaction of Antaranga Shakti with the Supreme Lord is described. So, that he has Shaktis, that there's the two Shaktis, internal and external. He is not in any way dealing with the external. Then that external is controlled by the internal. And now, him interacting with the internal. Right? Because you have to take through those stages, because if you don't separate, then they only know Maya as the external energy. So then they see the Lord controlled by Maya. So you have to show he's not controlled by Maya. But he has energies, but he's not controlled by them. He's transcendental. So how does that happen? Then that is taken care of by his internal potency. Yes?
Also this aspect proves one important aspect in relation with the Jiva, that if the external energy has nothing to do with the Supreme Lord, me being controlled under the external energy, how will I ever get liberated? And the internal energy is completely with the Lord.
Right.
I don't have any connection.
Very good.
So the next, the third sandarbha comes to how, on that very point, how the Vedas can describe the Supreme Lord.
It means the Paramatma.
How the Vedas can describe the...
No, I'm saying Paramatma sandarbha.
In this sandarbha only. Towards the end.
Oh, you say the third section.
Third,
okay, I thought you said the third sandarbha.
Section of this.
Okay, yes, yes.
So, this comes about, the Shrutis can describe the Supreme Lord. It itself like has a contradiction according to others, because Lord and his internal energy are completely separate from the Jiva, whereas the external energy is not in any relation with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about me?
Yes. You know, that's a good point. So they'll get to that. Yeah, because even in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's talking on this point of Krishna being mukdata, right? Because he's, you know, being unaware. So then the question could come up that Krishna being unaware, then we're offering our worship and prayers to Krishna, then how will he know? But he points out he does know. You know, like that. So in the same way as We don't have that connection, but at the same time we do. So if we take shelter of the internal potency, then it works. Yes?
We say that there is spiritual, internal and external energies, and they both have their functions.
Yes.
But for example, when we say that material energy, we can engage in the Lord's service, mm-hmm. but it still stays as material energy.
Yes.
It's not transforming to spiritual now.
No, but the effect is spiritual, because the internal potency is controlling the external. Now, the whole point is since it's controlling the external, then you can get by dealing with the external, if you deal with it in connection with Krishna, then you'll get the effect of the internal. So you're dealing with external. But if you deal with the external not in connection with Krishna, the effect you get is the external. It's just like, let's say, someone's in prison. They deal nicely, they deal properly, they do everything good. Then the effect that they'll get is as that of someone who's not in the prison. Right? But if someone behaves, you know, with a criminal mentality within the prison, that then the restrictions and all that that come are just more binding. Does that make sense? Because the control is coming from outside. Like the prison is run by someone who's not in the prison. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
All right. Also towards the end of this sandarbha, again the Antaranga Shakti is described in great detail.
Except in Panama. Yes.
Antaranga Shakti is described in great detail, all the 16 Shaktis,
okay.
How they deal and everything.
In this Sandarbha?
In this Sandarbha, okay. Towards the end. There it's clearly described the Shri or Lakshmi has two aspects, in the external world, in the material world, and also in the spiritual world. So that's how this inconceivable nature of one Shakti acting
in two different ways, two offices.
That's the connection.
Yeah.
So that's the way that.
Yeah.
The external energy can have.
Yes, yes. It's just like you have the mother. She can be, you know, very pleasant and nurturing and all that to the children, but if they're not behaving nicely, then she can be a disciplinarian. Like that. You know, so you have those two offices. You know, or if she doesn't do it, she gets the husband to do it. So, but in any case, she's controlling it.
She'll chastise him into doing it.
Yes, whatever it takes. But the two offices. Anucheta 22. The qualities in the spiritual world are described as Sarup Shakti, since they are non-different from the Lord's Sarup. Right? So his form and his energies of that form are non-different. That is stated in the following. The jiva contacts Maya by the influence of Maya. No, contacts matter by the influence of Maya. Takes on similar form due to upadis. And enjoys material objects. He thus experiences samsara. You, however, avoid the material energy in the same way that a snake does not identify with its skin. Glorious in your possession of 8 mystic powers, you display unlimited greatness. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.38. Right? So the snake doesn't identify with the skin. It's an external feature, and then, you know, it can just leave the skin. Right? So the same way, it's his energies, but he doesn't identify with them. The commentary says, because yat, the jiva embraces avidya, ajam, through maya, he serves the gunas, body and senses, and mistakes them for himself. And that, anu, he takes on similar qualities, sarupatam, and with qualities like bliss covered, apeta bhaga, attains samsara, mrityu. Right, so with this covered bliss, then you attain samsara. Mm-hmm. So,
it is defined as mrityam, also means death.
Yes, yes. Is, yes, that's the thing, samsara, death. Yeah. When you cover bliss, you get death. Right? Yeah.
It's pretty easy choice if you have it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's the whole point is that it's so obvious, but at the same time, it's, you know, yeah. You, however, reject that maya. Maya is situated in me. How do I give it up? Just as a snake does not think its skin to be himself just by thinking of its good qualities, so you give up Maya because you do not identify it as yourself. Your profusion of continuous bliss and knowledge is not produced by Maya. You are indifferent to it, right? So here when they're talking Maya, they mean the external energy, right? Because you have power, because the powers are immeasurable, Apari meyam bhaga. Your eight qualities of power are not limited by time and space like the powers of others, right? Because power comes from him, so it can't be limited. How does all the living entities get their powers except from the Lord? And everybody has powers, so that means all that power is coming from the Lord. So for the Lord, there's no limitation, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. This was also mentioned previously in the same chapter. Tvam asi yat atmana sama varudha samasta bhaga. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all power. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-14. So that he has power, so he's being full in powers, right? That means that there has to be a person who has that. Because as we see, that's the complaint of the impersonalist, that Brahman, how can it have powers? Because then that means that's qualities. But that's the point. God has qualities. Because he's the origin of everything. So that means it's the person who's the origin of everything. And when you apply those powers in a generic sense, that's called the impersonal. Right? So you don't have to worry that the Brahman is producing those powers because they're coming from Krishna. But when that Krishna with those powers in a generic state or an impersonal state, that's Brahman. But it all comes from the Supreme Brahman, the person. Right? So it's important that it's appreciated that the person is the origin of everything. Right? Because from the material standpoint, because you only have Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, that means you're going to take the impersonal as the source. And then you have to, you know, shift. But in the spiritual world, it's the person who's the source. Then you have these two, included in that person are the features of Brahman and Paramatma. Yeah? Another explanation of the snake is as follows. The skin refers to an old skin. The snake readily gives up that skin. Just as the snake gives up the skin and does not go near it, you do not go near Maya. Right, it leaves the skin, just leaves it there. It doesn't take it with it, you know, pack it up and, well, I really like this one, you know. Take it, hang it on the, in the closet with all the other ones, you know. Yeah, so, you know, then the companion comes along and says, you're still keeping all these, you can't even fit into these like that. No, but they have, you know, nostalgic value. You know, like that.
Yeah. Start doing yoga.
Yeah. Let me surrender to you, Bhagavan, who are the condensed form of pure knowledge. And by you are bliss itself. You have forms with many qualities. Your desires are always fulfilled. Because of your Shakti, you are never touched by the material gunas. Right? So he's dealing with the internal potency. And by his desire, all his desires are taken care of by his Srup Shakti. So he has no interest in the external energy. Right? Because it's unconscious. Well, he's conscious. So why would it take that? But the point is for him being complete, since he is all conscious and he is everything, that means there must be also unconsciousness. Because he's complete, there must be incompleteness. Because he's great, there must be small. Right? Because he's eternal, there must be temporary. But he has no interest in it. That's controlled by his internal potency, his Sarup Shakti. But it's all there because it's part of him. But it's a minor part. But it's still there. So, yes.
So all the energy of Krishna, the Shakti, they are person.
Yes.
Which means they have a relation with Krishna as a servant.
Well, they all have, whether it's direct or indirect. His internal potency, it'll be direct.
Yes.
The external will be indirect. But they have a relationship. Just like with Maya, does she have a direct relationship with Krishna? Right? Means Shakti must be connected to Shaktiman.
Yes.
Who's Maya connected to? Who's the Shaktiman? But you see, does she interact with Krishna? Let's take it a step further. Who's her husband?
Shiva.
Right? Lord Shiva. Right? But for the gopis and the queens and the Lakshmis, it's all Krishna is the husband. So for her, Shiva is the husband. So Shiva is the transformation of Krishna that takes care of. Right? So there's no need of the external potency to interact with Krishna directly. Like that. So the point is it would be just like this. Okay, let us say, let's take another example. Okay, you have the mother, and, you know, with the child, always, you know, pleasant, trying to make them happy and deal and everything. Now, let's say something's come up that's disturbing. So the mother is quite disturbed, right? Feeling unhappy, this, that. Then let's say the kid walks in, right? You know, the little three-year-old kid, you know, comes walking into the room. What does she do?
Smiles.
So in other words, so who's keeping away the inferior qualities? Right? The mother. It's not the child. But it's because of the child that you're doing. So therefore, the inferior qualities that bind the living entities, those are kept away from Krishna by the internal potency, because they're functioning in the two offices. So why would they manifest the inferior that's not pleasing to Krishna? Right? Because you want to, you know, it's just like there. The mother wants to please the child, so she smiles. Right? The child's smiling. Or even if the child is upset, she would take on that mood and interact there. It has nothing to do with her. You know what I'm saying? Feelings like that. So that's the whole point, is that they are keeping it away themselves, so Krishna doesn't interact, because there's no interest. So that's the point, the external energy, or that's the point you're giving here. The snake and the skin refers to an old skin. There's no interest. It's external. So the external energy Krishna has no interest in. Does that make sense? So the internal potency keeps the external potency away, because that a feature of them is the external. So you don't, just like Krishna when he's dealing with the Brajbasis, does he manifest the Brahman or Paramatma aspect? No. It doesn't even, you know, so like that. Even if he tries, it doesn't work. Like that. So, yeah?
We see at each step, Shakti is controlled by Shaktiman. So where is this illusion coming from that the Shakti is, you know, working independently? Why is it seems like it is?
Because they know what to do. Does that make sense? It means, what's working independently? The mechanics, the knowledge, you're using it. But what's the purpose of it?
That's unseen.
Yes, but I'm saying, Maya, why is she working?
Well, for Krishna.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that the knowledge and skills she doesn't know and she applies. So it's just like, means it's like if we're talking about in the material world, it's the chewing the chewed, right? So it's the same thing over again. It's three modes, right? And then you have the particular species, which will be a specific combination of modes. And so within that, you'll only have some certain variety. You know, it's like, you know, the dog, what are they going to eat, or what are they going to chase after, right? There's a good chance they're not going to chase a tiger, right? You know, but if it's a cat, yes, but a tiger, no. Like that, it's like so. It's very fixed. It's very specific. So when the desires come up, then it's already been authorized that in this situation, this is what you do. In this situation, this is what you do. So it's all authorized by the Lord. But Maya can just run it because it's the standard thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, in the restaurant, you have the owner of the restaurant, right? And then you have all the, you know, the cooks and the waiters and maitre d' and all these kind of people, right? So now an order comes in, and the cooks make it and the waiters take it out. You know, he didn't have to, you know, ask, you know, should I make this for this guy? Because it's already been authorized that these are the things that are there. Someone asks for this, they get this. Someone asks for that, they get that. So in other words, it's just carried out. But it's under the supervision of the person who owns the restaurant. So they're only fulfilling the desire of the restaurateur. And so, because we're used to the point that working with the knowledge and skills, that's the real thing. Because we're working on the external. We're dealing with the external aspect. So the internal aspect of pleasing Krishna, that we don't connect to it. So even we're working in the material world where it still has the internal aspect, though it's external. So you're talking about internal within the external. Then we don't necessarily connect the dots there. You know, but if you mention to somebody that you have to take care of this and, you know, take care of the family or this or that, or please, you're pleasing somebody. You know, Prabhupada says, everyone's a servant. So if you explain it, everyone will agree. Right? And even to say, no, I'm independent, but you're serving your senses. You know, so still, like that. Sense is hungry, then you have to work it out. But if you're independent, then you get hungry, what do you care? Right? So that aspect is there. We're so used to looking at the jnana and kriya aspects that we don't look at the icha, because the icha just means, you know, my desire. But the point is that's, it's not working out. It doesn't fulfill our desire. So that means it's working in its own method. So that means it has to be fulfilling someone else's desire. Because if jnana and kriya are for fulfilling my desire, but it doesn't fulfill my desire, but it works consistently in a particular way, then it must be fulfilling someone else's desire. Right? And so then who's that? How does that work? How do you connect with that? Because the material energy then always works in the proper way. Then when you see that, then you start seeing is that, but if you're working here and this is inferior and you're hearing about the superior, then why would we be working in the inferior? Right, and then when we hear about that working with the inferior, the happiness we get doesn't even compare to a drop of you know the ocean of not working with the external energy. Right, just by stopping working with the external energy, the happiness is so great. You know, it's compared to an ocean compared to a drop of the material world. Just by not working with it. And then that, you can't even compare a drop of that to the unlimited ocean of when you work with the internal potency for Krishna's pleasure. So then we start to see is, okay, well maybe there's something more there. And then by the association of all these great personalities and that, then we start to see about bhakti and about devotion and then functioning under their direction. From that association, then Krishna being pleased starts to reveal, and then we start to appreciate. Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, most of the time we have a reverse approach from going to Shakti to a person behind Shakti. But most of the times, like Prabhupada explains, from the Shakti Man, we come down to Shakti.
Yes.
Like, whenever a particular Shakti is mentioned, it's because that particular function is being performed by a particular personality, which is that Shakti is pervading. But if you think from personality aspect, then it becomes much more practical, clear and easy. But material world, we are bound to think from seeing a machine or a mechanism, something happened, to think, okay, there can or may not be a personality behind it.
Yeah. Because of the inductive. We're always looking at it from going up. It's just like someone, let's say, working in their house with all the what do you call them? Gizmos, gadgets?
Appliances,
yes. So all the appliances, how much do you, how often do you think about the electricity? Right, you just use the appliance as long as it works. Like if the toaster works or the refrigerator works or the oven works, you don't think about the electricity. Only if it doesn't work, then you know you look around to see if it's plugged in or if the fuse is gone or something. So like Prabhu was saying, we don't think about its origin. But when in the personal, then it's coming from there, therefore it's functioning. So then it has meaning. Because we're trying to do everything personal, but because we're doing it in the reverse order, this inductive, we don't actually get to the personal level. So we as persons are then functioning on an impersonal level. and then being dissatisfied that it doesn't give results of personal interaction. Because personal means it's about the other person. Because, you know, you can say it's no, but it's about me. I'm also a person, so it's personal. But there's other terms for that. You know. So, yes?
So can we say that user is always impersonal and the servant is always personal?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, because that's the thing. It's where, how you say? As the Shastrik, the user and the used. You know, like the cheaters and the cheated. So we're using everything, but we're being used by those above us who supply us with those things to use so that they make their profit so that they can use what they want to use. So yeah. Yeah, that's a good way. Because if you're just using it, but if you're serving, then that's the personal. That then makes it very exact. Because user is just this mechanical. So we're so used to this impersonal. Because we're living in the realm of the Brahma Jyotir. So we're not living in the personal realm. Right? So the potencies of Brahman is what this whole creation is based on. And how it functions and everything, and we're using the potency that's in something like that, that's being pervaded by the Brahman, and it like that. So we're not used to actually the personal, because that's the spiritual world. So being involved in that environment, impersonal, we don't even recognize the personal is there. It means because it's inherent in the jiva, then you can discuss it. And depending on how covered or not covered someone is, then you can get through to them. So then in a general discussion, you'll discuss by whatever's the amalgamation of the general mood. Right? And on that level. And so then some people who are less covered, they'll get more out of it. Some people who are more covered will get less out of it. But if you're dealing individually or something that's more defined, then you can be more specific. Is that... So one's trying to get beyond this impersonal concept. So that's what this Sandarbha is doing, is showing that this impersonal concept is just a feature of Krishna. There is no separate impersonal, and then beyond that's the Lord. There's only the Lord, and then there's his impersonal feature. So then we're covered by that impersonal feature. That's the Hiranmayena Patrena. Yeah. Yes.
Also, Maharaj, can we say that because in the spiritual world, people directly see the personalities and then they are doing these functions, that's why they don't require the jnana and karma, which are actually seeing through the functions the people? We don't require the aid of jnana and karma.
Because it's supporting. It's just there. How do you say? I mean, he says, if everything's being done to please Krishna, then these various activities that are being performed with knowledge and skills, then that's going on because of its performance of pleasing Krishna. So you're only going to look at that end result of how it pleases Krishna and the result you want to offer for the pleasure of Krishna. And so as long as the knowledge and skills they're using is in line, it will work. Right? Does that make sense? So here you have to be more careful about that. But it's not that they're not trained in the spiritual world also. You learn. That's why you have your authorities. They teach you what to do. But it is an absolute truth, and once you learn that, you can do that eternally. So it's not that you forget it or anything. And so then the training is there. What's the best way to do things to get the best result for Krishna? So here is you have a variety of what's best because people have different goals. Since it's about sense gratification for themselves, there's not a unified goal. So even that's why you try to do these things to unify everybody, you can't, because their goals in unification are different. Like let's say the businessman being part of a greater unification, what's his goal? Right? Money. Right? The government. That control. You know, the Brahma is that intellectual capacity. The Shudra, their sense gratification. Right? So everybody's, and then what sense gratification they want, and this, it's all different. So you're not going to get a commonality there. So that's why in the social you have to use varnashram, because it's the only thing that can call together all those very contradictory and different positions. Does that make sense? And so that being held together, then that will hold it together socially if you have the piety to be able to work in goodness. So the commonality is that everyone works in goodness, then everyone performing their duties, it'll work. We're just saying, no, everyone should be together and do things together, but on what basis? It never gets that far. But it never has to get that far, because it never does.
As long as it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good, it'll work for getting something done, and it'll transform into something else. But, so that means you have to have, so there's that sense gratification being the drive and our willingness to function in the mode of goodness, then we'll make that common element. So therefore the demons can follow varnashram and work together. But you see, if it comes, push comes to shove with their false ego and other things like that, then there are problems. Right? Because then there is a difference in goal. And because of that, then passion and ignorance come up. So, yeah. So technically they're following it from passion, is that they're performing their duties for the benefit they'll get, rather than performing their duties just because they should be performed. That's the demigod. But, now if you actually want to hold it together, then you have to have that common element of pleasing the Lord. So pleasing the Lord, that being the central feature, then by the performance of your duties to please the Lord, now you can hold all the whole society together in a dynamic way. And it can be maintained.
Yeah, sustainable.
Yeah. But only if it's devotion and only if you're using that form. I mean, if you can function just on devotion, you know, like the Paramahamsas, it'll still work. Because that's the central feature. But if you're working with a wide range, because if you're working with Paramahamsas, you're working with Paramahamsas.
Yes.
Right?
They could take any position.
That, but the same, yes, they can within the system, but I'm saying on their own, what do they require? So therefore, with humility, tolerance, respect of others, and not looking for respect for themselves, and being always absorbed in the Lord, that the whole social system will work. You're always considerate of others. You're not looking for whatever you get. You know, you're always taking a humble position. You're tolerant of others. Why won't the system work? So Paramahamsas, with that one verse, can make the whole thing work. But now if you have beyond Paramahamsas, then you have to be able to accommodate everybody else. And Paramahamsas, because of that principle, they can work in any position. So it's the only system that can work. But it has to be performed in the mode of goodness, and that will only happen because of bhakti. So because of bhakti, we can do things in the mode of goodness. From that, we can run the varnashram. Then we can have all these social, economic, you know, things that people are looking for. Because that's all they're looking for, is social, economic. Right? Because as devotees, then, you know, sense gratification is not there. And, you know, it's underlying. You don't talk about it. That's the whole point of pranamoy. You don't talk about it. See, in manamoy, you can talk about it. But in pranamoy, you don't talk about it. You know, it's just like, let's say, in the normal Western culture, you don't tell people enjoy and this and that so much, like that. You'll see that if they're not from the Christian background, they can have that understanding, and it's there. But they're considered on a lower level, right? Because it's always, you know, how you say, everything's immaculate, you know, like that. So you can't be, even though it's there, you don't talk about it. But others can talk about it. Right? So that's the far out thing, is that you find those who follow the rules can talk about the application of variety. Like it's not an uncommon thing. It means you don't see this much now, but before it's like with Indians, you can talk about sex in a public forum, you know, in the philosophy, and they don't have any problem because they're controlling because of the mode of goodness. But Westerners, even though they're totally dedicated to sex, you can't talk about it in a public forum. Right? I mean, so, you know, if you're joking about it or making innuendos, that you can do. But if you actually talk about the position of it, You can't talk about it, just like you can't talk about death. But, so it's just that's the whole thing, is that because they're working on a higher level, it's duties, therefore it can be discussed. While you go down to pranamoy, it's not duties, it's just whatever's accepted. So since it's about sense gratification, if we're all working together, it can't be about sense gratification. It's about working together. But why would you work together unless you get sense gratification? And so then, but we don't talk about it because the point is we're taking part in the system, so we'll get sense gratification. So we don't want to hear someone else is having sense gratification. We're not. Right? So therefore, you don't talk about it. You don't see it. Hence the, you know, I say, you know, what people do in the privacy of their own homes is, you know, nobody else's business. Because you don't want to break down the pranamoic system. So, does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the weirdo thing about it. So the higher up you go, the easier it is to discuss these things. Because you're dealing with greater and greater purity. So that whole position that you're coming to the platform of seeing it all in connection with Krishna's desire, that then means now you can function with this whole social system that can accommodate the wide variety of Sakam, Nishkam, Paramahamsas. They can all function within Varnashram. But Sakam, Nishkam, and Paramahamsas can't function in any other social economic system. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, and it gives rise to the higher understanding. Right? It means, you know, in other words, just as we're saying, if you're talking economics, you're talking politics, it's all right. It's general discussion. Talk sense gratification, you have to be in very specific forums. And then talk liberation, you know, or that there's a problem here, we got to get out of here. That also you have to be very careful about. Mm-hmm. So actually, you know, dharma in connection with artha, that's all you can talk about. Not dharma on its own, and then artha is regulated by that. No, it's artha. You know, in other words, the non-theistic moralism you can talk about. That the sense gratification, liberation, dharma itself that regulates, that they don't want to talk about. So it's not a very wide range. While the Vedic system, the Varnashram, then it holds together all four of them. And so then depending upon what is the discussion, you can relate to any one of them. Then you have your position. You can talk about someone else's position without losing your position. So it's a very sophisticated and very, it's God's system. So He made the world, then it's what works. So that's the whole point is when you're seeing it's about Krishna, then everything is working in context of Krishna. And working in context of Krishna, therefore all the knowledge and skills required are being applied. They don't need to be a separate endeavor. Right? It means you're cooking for Krishna, therefore the cooking mechanics is not a separate endeavor. It's part of cooking. You know, but it's not that, okay, well let's practice cooking, not for Krishna, to become good at cooking so that I can cook for Krishna. No. You just cook for Krishna. And in cooking for Krishna, you get all the practice you need to develop the cooking technique.
To become better.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is there's no question of separately endeavoring for all these good qualities and skills and knowledge separate from Krishna, because the only place that it's actually properly affected is in connection with Krishna. That's its only purpose. There is no other purpose for all these things. The idea is, no, we have all these things and we can use them in Krishna. Yes, we can use them in Krishna's service. But where did they come from? Why are they there? If it's Krishna's world, why are they there? Right? You know, we say, oh, economics can be used, but who made economics? We look in the history, who made economics? You know, who's the individual that came up with it and, you know?
Invented it.
Yeah, invented it. What about families?
Who has the patent?
Yeah, who has the patent? What about sleep? Now that was a good one.
That was you know? A real money maker.
yeah, definitely. Huh? Breathing. Yeah, like that, you know. Yeah, all these, who made all that? So that's the thing, is that then all these things have to function. So what? So since it's a creation, means it's functioning in laws. So what are the laws of the of creation in connection with all these things? So anything else other than God's system won't work. Because if it did work, they would have figured it out in the last 3,000 years. That's a good amount of time, 3,000 years. Yeah, you know, you can't say that, you know, they didn't get their fair shot.
No.
You know, so the modern culture, you know, got its opportunity. They tried hard and all that, but we should, after 3,000 years, acknowledge that it didn't work. And during that same period of 3,000 years, the Vedic culture in India, the Varnashram, was going on perfectly fine. And they had more wealth than probably anybody over here. You know, in fact, that was, you know, that's why they were trying to find a shorter route to the Orient. Because it's such a trip going, they didn't have the Suez, so they had to go down around the Cape of Good Hope, which is very dangerous from what I hear.
Place to be,
yeah, and so they you know, when they got, you know, the world's round, you know, so it's a Polish guy, right? That should have been their first indication, right? You know, the Polish guy worked out the world's around, right? You know, so then you're going to figure out that you could go around the other way and get there, right? Because if there's Europe and Africa, and then there's Asia, you just come in from the other side. There's nothing, you know. Then you don't have to go underneath like that. But unfortunately, he bumped into something like that.
And now we have Donald Trump.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The locals are in reservations. How you say, the white guys are eating all the pumpkins. And you have Donald Trump? Yes. Yeah. Well, if he hadn't gone that way, then it wouldn't. So the whole point is they're trying to find India. Because that's where so much opulence is going. So even then it was known that this is. And the fun part is they would go there and trade. Right? When they went to America, did they trade?
Ooh, so much.
Like that. No, they just took. But you go to India, you can't just take, because those guys are powerful. So, yeah. So, does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It was working. So you can't say, oh, it wasn't working and this and that. It's always been working. So then that's the idea, is that if we see this, that it's about the Icha Shakti fulfilling Krishna's desire, then you're going to work with his internal potency, right? And so then in doing that, you're going to work with, therefore, devotional service. And the structure you use for that to coordinate everyone's devotional service is going to be Varnashram, but Daiva Varnashram, because it's under the internal potency to please Krishna's desire. Right? Then you're not dealing with the external potency. Right? You're not under the modes of nature. So, yeah. So that's the system. That's how Krishna works. That's how all the living entities in the spiritual world work. So we can work in the same way. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Natai Gaur Premanoda ki.